Hello, I'm Pauline Rowson, a crime author of the contemporary set D.I. Andy Horton crime novels, the Marvick mystery thrillers, the 1950s set Inspector Ryger mysteries, and standalone thrillers. All my crime novels are set against the backdrop of the ever-changing sea on the south coast of England. You can find details of my books on my website at www.rowmark.co.uk. In episode 3, I talked about where I get my ideas from, and although this is primarily locations around the coast, I also get ideas from overheard conversations. My mystery thriller, In Cold Daylight, is an example of this. In Cold Daylight was inspired by an overheard conversation on my husband's watch, Red Watch, at Southsea Fire Station, Portsmouth, when he was serving there as a firefighter. The watch were discussing the high number of firefighters from one particular watch who had sadly contracted cancer, and they were speculating if this could have been as a result of a shout they had all attended where they had been exposed to dangerous chemicals. Now, this was entirely possible, as firefighters' headgear, until recently, did not fully protect them, especially around the neck and the ears. My husband always said that the only way to tell just how hot a fire was by his ears. I decided to take this idea and work it up into a thrilling, fast-paced plot. I also chose not to feature as the main protagonist a brave firefighter, but almost the opposite, a reluctant hero. Adam Green is a successful marine artist. He wants nothing more than to be left alone to paint. He's opted for an easy, quiet life, leaving the ambition to his successful career wife, Faye. Then, his closest friend, firefighter Jack Bartholomew, is killed in a fire, and Adam is forced out of his comfort zone to undertake a perilous journey, one that leads him into a labyrinth of lies, secrets and conspiracy at the highest level. I will talk more about characters and building their backstories in future episodes. For now though, listen to the actor Jonathan Rhodes reading the prologue and the beginning of chapter 1 of In Cold Daylight, and you'll get a flavour of the plot and the characters.
In Cold Daylight by Pauline Rosen. Before firefighter Jack Bartholomew can reveal the cause of his own and his colleague's cancer, he is murdered. In a cryptic message orchestrated before his death, he has left a trail of clues that will lead his friend, marine artist Adam Green, into a labyrinth of lies, secrets and conspiracy at the highest level. Prologue. If it hadn't been for the break-in on the day of the funeral, I might never have got involved. But that and Jack's note urging me to take care of his wife, Rosie, obliged me. I had let him down in life. I wasn't about to let him down in death. Danger wasn't usually my kind of thing, though. I was just happy to let things be. But the past has a nasty habit of catching up with you, and mine had just done that. As I stood around Jack's grave in the bleak Portsmouth Cemetery in December, the memory of another funeral 15 years ago had rushed in and almost suffocated me. I tried to shut out the image, but couldn't. Some things never went away. They just lay in wait for you. I wanted to leave, but I knew I couldn't. I had closed my eyes and tried to block out the past, but it refused to go. I knew then that it wouldn't. I had run away once. This time, I had a feeling that running away wouldn't be an option. 1. I woke with the mother of all hangovers. I could hear my wife, Faye, moving about the house. I groaned and reached for the clock, only to find my arm waving in thin air. I peeled open my eyes. The electric light stabbed at me like a laser beam. Of course, I was in the lounge. It was the day after Jack's funeral. I hadn't been able to sleep. My mouth felt like sandpaper, my tongue two sizes too big for me. What on earth was Faye doing? She sounded as if she was trying to break the record for the number of times she could circumnavigate the house wearing hobnailed boots while spinning crockery. I guessed she was punishing me for going to Rosie's aid last night, but what was I supposed to do? Rosie had only just buried her husband, and to return home from the wake to find her house ransacked. I couldn't leave her to face that alone. And I couldn't let Jack down. Look after Rosie for me, Adam. The words on Jack's last message to me obliged me. But I would have gone anyway. I wasn't usually in favour of corporal punishment. Last night had changed my mind. I thought hanging was too good for the burglars. The odd thing was, though, nothing had been taken, or so Rosie's daughter Sarah had said after a quick check round. Rosie's jewellery was still in her bedroom, and even I could see through the chaos of strewn condolence cards and flowers that the TV and hi-fi were in the lounge and intact. I'd only glimpsed Jack's study, but it was enough for me to notice that the computer had been smashed, but not the printer. Why that and nothing else? It didn't make any sense. But then neither did Jack's death. Sarah had taken her mother back to the flat, whilst I had stayed behind to talk to the police and arrange for the locksmith to change the busted front door lock. It was the least I could do. "You're awake, then?" Faye's reproachful tone was like barbed wire in my brain. I opened my eyes again and grunted. Faye was looking at me as if I was something the cat had sicked up on the carpet. Remembering our row last night, I wasn't surprised. Faye had wanted me to take her out to celebrate winning her first new client account since her promotion to account director at the London advertising agency where she worked. Instead, I had dumped her for Jack's widow. I tried smiling, but that must have made me look worse because she tutted and tossed her blonde hair. "How much did you drink last night, Adam?" I watched her pick up the television remote control and put it beside the television set. Faye always liked things in their proper place, and I wasn't where I should have been. I thought if she could pick me up and tidy me away, she'd be happy. Her pretty face was frowning as she lifted the almost empty whiskey bottle with thumb and forefinger. I felt a stab of guilt as she carried it through to the kitchen as if it were contaminated. "Does it matter?" I heaved myself up on one arm. "Of course it matters. I don't wish to be married to a drunk." She returned from the kitchen and stared down at me, her hands on her slender hips. She was dressed for work in a smart black trouser suit. "What time is it?" I asked. "Time you did some work. You can't mourn forever. Jack wouldn't want you to." Since Rosie had telephoned me to say that Jack was dead, I hadn't been able to lift a paintbrush. That was 12 days ago. I was beginning to wonder if I would ever paint again. "You'll miss your train," I grunted, standing up and making a valiant attempt not to stagger. The expression on her face told me I'd said the wrong thing. "I'm taking the car to London, and I'm staying in the agency flat until Friday. In case you haven't noticed, Christmas is less than 3 weeks away, and I've got a great deal to do." "When did you decide this?" I asked, surprised, stumbling into the kitchen and almost tripping over Boadicea, who gave a loud meow and glared at me. "Not you too," I thought, flicking on the kettle. I turned to face Faye, then wished I hadn't, as the movement caused my head to spin. "Last night, after you rushed out, I called Stuart. He said it was okay." Was this my punishment for going to the aid of my best friend's widow? I'd never met Faye's boss, but I didn't much care for him, probably because I was sick of hearing about him. She continued, "I thought it would give you time to do some work and prepare for the exhibition on Saturday. I've gone to a great deal of trouble to get a top London gallery owner down for it, not to mention the Lord Mayor of Portsmouth and our MP. I know, I haven't forgotten. I only wished I could. Faye was determined to make me into a household name. Me. I wouldn't even have bothered to have an exhibition. If I had to, I would have preferred to absent myself. I find showing off my work excruciatingly embarrassing. A decided drawback for an artist. I reached for a mug and spooned in some coffee. I opened my mouth to talk about Rosie, but Faye got there first. Are you even going to try and paint today? Faye eyed me with contempt. You'll miss your car. Further discussion was pointless. She snatched up her briefcase and car keys, glared at me, and stomped out. And that is that, I said to the cat, who lifted her head as if to say, what do you expect? And then turned tail on me and hopped through the cat flap. I drank my coffee, slumped on the sofa. I'm not very good at arguing. Giving in is more my speciality. Faye was understandably peeved that I had deserted her in her hour of glory. Perhaps I should call her and apologise. I hate an atmosphere. Maybe later. I closed my eyes, but couldn't blot out the events of the previous night. The police had said drug addicts were probably to blame for the break-in, but what sort of drug addicts would leave jewellery and other items that could have been sold for a quick buck? I had voiced my opinion to the younger, stouter police officer. He'd said, if they're drugged up, sir, who knows what's going through their mind? I thought his reply was a cop-out, but then he didn't know about my last conversation with Jack. I'm being followed, Jack had said when I'd telephoned him 2 weeks ago. I had laughed and told him he was being paranoid. Why would anyone want to follow you? I had teased. I can't tell you yet, Adam. It's too dangerous. But I'm almost there. Where? At the truth. Give me a few more days. Only Jack hadn't had a few more days. The day after, he had entered a derelict burning building. It was his job putting out fires. It could have happened to any firefighter. But it hadn't. It had happened to Jack. I wasn't laughing now.
For more information on my crime novels, please visit my website at www.romark.co.uk, where you'll also find lots more articles on how I write, the writing process, and the background to my crime novels and my characters. My books are available in paperback, ebook, on Amazon Kindle, and some are also available as audiobooks. They can be bought from any online retailer or bookstore, and also many can be loaned from UK, Commonwealth and USA libraries. I hope you will join me again to listen to more of my podcasts. Thank you for listening. Bye.